1 Thessalonians 5:16. There, the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." God, thank you that your will is clearly revealed to us. There's so many times and in so many ways where we're doubtful, wondering what it is that you want us to do, and yet if we would open your word, we find so often that you just very clearly tell us. And so here we have a very simple statement. In everything, give thanks. This is your will for us in Christ. And so God, we pray that you would minister to us by your word today as we have ministered to you through worship. I pray, God, that you'd open the eyes of our understanding, that we would know how we are to live and walk in a way that is honoring and glorifying to you because you're worthy. And Lord, as we prepare for a holiday this week, as we prepare for a time when we'll see friends and family members that maybe we don't see often, that you would stir our hearts to be grateful, to be filled with thanksgiving, and that that would in turn give us an opportunity to share how good and great you are. And so God, minister to us, open our eyes, in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The Roman philosopher Cicero, in the first century BC, he wrote that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but it is the parent of all the others. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, it is the parent of all others. About 100 years later, another Roman philosopher, Seneca, he wrote, "Ingratitude is an abomination." Challenging words, and important for us to consider. As we considered last week together, Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, there the Apostle Paul wrote, "For though I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of faith in Christ Jesus. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in the faith with thanksgiving." And so we considered, if you were here last week with us, we considered together that because we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, if you're a Christian today and you have received the gift of God in Christ Jesus the Lord, because you have received him, if that is the case, then we ought to be people who are thankful. We ought to be. And so what I laid the groundwork for last week, or what I was aiming to do, was to establish a theology of gratitude, to establish an ethic of gratitude, that this is what we ought to do, this is what we should do as those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and in receiving Christ Jesus the Lord, we receive everything that is in him and by him and through him and promised to him. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, so they're all ours. So everything that is in and through and by Jesus is ours, and if you've received him, then you've received all of that. Any of you ever seen that show on TV called Storage Wars? Come on, be honest, you watch that. You know. I've seen a couple episodes here or there. Storage Wars, you know the premise that there's these people that go and they bid at auctions on repossessed or abandoned storage units. And so they open the doors and there's like this group of people, they're not allowed to go in, they're just allowed to look inside. And then they start the bidding. And you might get something great or you might get a dud. And so these people are bidding on it, and the guy's talking really fast, you know, the whole auction thing. And then after that, once you win the auction, everything that's in there is yours. It's all yours. Everything in that storage facility. And so, maybe not the best illustration, but it applies here, because everything in Christ, when you receive him, you receive everything that comes with him. And as a result, because of that, Paul lays the groundwork there in Colossians chapter 2 that we should be grateful, we should be thankful. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says that in Christ we have received every spiritual blessing. If you're a Christian, every spiritual blessing that the Bible speaks of, and the Bible has a lot to say about blessing. It's one of the overused words of the Bible, blessing. So every blessing that the Bible describes is ours in Christ. He has given you all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And not just in Ephesians chapter 1, but also Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says that by God's divine power, he has given to the Christian everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that you need to live this life in a godly way is given to us by God's divine power. And it is through the knowledge of him, of Jesus, and coming to know him, we have all of this. And so we have what I have termed the ethic of gratitude, that we ought to give thanks because of all of these things that we have been given. We should be people of praise. We ought to be those who give thanks. But we don't always do that, right? If we're honest, we'll recognize that we sometimes mirror more the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings than we do a people who are filled with gratitude. And the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings were a murmuring people. And so if we're honest, we probably all confess that sometimes we are a murmuring group, a group of complainers. And so we fall into that, but we have this ethic as Christians. We ought to be grateful. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so be grateful. Be filled with gratitude. But we move from there to what I would term the imperative of gratitude. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 specifically, because here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now, the words give thanks there, one word in the original language, eucharisteo, and that word in this passage, it is in the imperative. And what that means is that it is a command. It's something that we are supposed to do. So last week we looked at something that we ought to do, we should do, because it's glorifying to God, it is the will of God, all of these sort of things, but this is commanded to us. We are commanded to be a grateful people. So point number one on your outlines, the Bible commands thanksgiving. The Bible commands thanksgiving. Not only as an ought to or should do, but as a must do. Christians are commanded to be thankful. We know that we should be, we know that we ought to be, but we are also commanded to do so. But that presents a problem on several layers that I want to consider, because we have first the command problem here. And in this command problem, I'm going to break it into two, and the first is the emotional aspect of it, the emotional problem. So because we have been commanded to worship God through thanksgiving, we run into an issue in our emotions. And the way I would put it is like this. It's not entirely fruitful to command emotions. Our emotions are not necessarily subject to an outside command or our will. We can't just instantly turn on our emotions. Now, there may be certain things that we can do to increase or to bolster a certain emotional response in an instance, but to just merely command something in someone that is an emotion, well, our makeup just doesn't work that way. So let me try to illustrate it in this way. And I've used this illustration before because I think it helps grasp it in a good way. Imagine, picture yourself driving south on the 15 freeway, and you're cruising along at, 65. Right, miles per hour, 80. And cruising along, and in front of you, you're going 80 miles an hour, about 50 feet in front of you, a pickup truck hits a bump, and out of the back of the truck comes a spare tire, and it's bouncing toward you. Now, in that moment, do you have to consciously tell yourself, I will now be anxious? No. There is an instant emotive response of anxiety. Instantly in that moment, you now feel yourself become anxious. Of course, there's all kinds of physiological things that are happening in your body with you know, adrenaline and so forth. But in that moment, you feel, you have the emotion of anxiety instantly, and you did not will it. You did not command it. You did not tell yourself. It just happened. There was an emotional response. And if you've ever had some sort of thing like that that causes, you know, the adrenal dump and that anxious thing, let's say that you dodge that tire. You got mad skills driving. You dodge the tire, you get beyond it, and you're 5 seconds away from it. You now see it in your rearview mirror and the whole deal. In that moment, when your heart is going and anxiety is there, now try to tell yourself, I will not be anxious. Now, there are certain things, certain exercises, things that you can do to try and reduce in that moment the heart pounding, breathing, so forth, to try and reduce it, but it is not subject to your command or your will in that moment very well. It's very hard to command or will an emotional response. Well, why bring that up? I bring that up because gratitude, point number two on your outline, gratitude is a responsive emotion. Gratitude is a responsive emotion. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And I think that if we were to poll this group, and I'm assuming that many are Christians, there may be some here today, you're not yet a believer, you haven't put your faith and your trust in Jesus, we're glad that you're here. But there are many of you here who today would say, I'm a believer and a follower in Jesus. And so there is a will, there's a desire to be a grateful person because it is the will of God. It glorifies God. It's the thing we ought to do. We should do this. It's commanded here in the scriptures. So we say, yes, I want to be a grateful person. So the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good? We find ourselves, you know, about Wednesday, murmuring, complaining, and not necessarily being grateful people who are filled with gratitude. And then we read a passage like this that says, this is the will of God. Be thankful. Commanded to us. We go, okay, be thankful. Be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. We try to will it. Now, there are certain things that we can do to increase the likelihood that we will express gratitude. But we need to recognize that expressing gratitude and having a heart of gratitude are different things. They're not the same thing. You can say with your lips, thank you, and actually not be thankful. Anybody ever experienced that before? Be honest. We can say it with our lips, but not necessarily be grateful for something or have gratitude. So gratitude, that which is honoring to the one who is receiving it and satisfying to the one who is giving it, is not merely expressed only with the lips. It's something that is at the heart level. It's an emotion, and it's not easy to drum up an emotion. It's not subject to the command or to the will in the way that maybe just our behaviors are. Our behaviors are subject to the command and the will. We can will ourselves to do or not do something or to say or not say something, but to cause the emotion of gratitude to be there is difficult. So we have the emotional problem. Then we move to the command problem. And the command problem, I've illustrated it like this before, and it works. Imagine little Billy. It's Christmas Day. And Grandma comes over, and she brings little Billy a Christmas present. And Billy's excited. Loves Christmas presents. Everybody loves Christmas presents. I love Christmas presents. And so Billy starts to open that Christmas present. He's super excited, and then he opens the box, and inside the box are socks. And Billy's mom says, Billy, what do we say to Grandma? And he squeaks out a thank you, right? So, with the lips, he is honoring, but the heart is far from Grandma at that moment. That's scriptural, Isaiah 29:13. So, He honors grandma because he's supposed to. He expresses gratitude with his lips, but the heart's not there. And it's very clear that the heart is not there. But he's expressing, he's doing the right behavior because it was commanded. Billy, what do we say to grandma? Thank you, grandma. But dutifully offered gratitude is not honoring to the one who is receiving it. If you're only doing it out of duty or obligation, I have to do it. Imagine, guys, you come home and it's your anniversary. And so you remembered. Yes. And you bought a dozen red roses. Let's make it 2 dozen. And you want to surprise your wife. So you don't even go through the garage like you normally do. This time you go and you knock on the door. And she opens the door and she sees the red roses. And her heart is instantly filled with joy because you remembered and you got roses and you did it this way. You're surprising her and you give these red roses. And then you say, I want you to know it is my duty as your husband to buy you these roses. Yeah, that doesn't work, does it? All the joy just went out the window. Dutifully offered gratitude is not honoring to the one that receives it. It is insincere, and I would argue that it is not satisfying to the one who gives it either. And Jesus calls it hypocritical, and he actually uses the words of Isaiah from Isaiah 29, verse 13, to describe it as hypocritical when your heart is not engaged in the actions that you're doing. We can worship and do things that look like worship in our behaviors, and our hearts be far removed from the Lord. We can give gratitude to people or to the Lord with our lips, but our hearts not be in it. And God said through the prophet Isaiah 2,800 years ago in Isaiah 29:13, these are a people who draw near to me with their lips. They honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. And he says, I don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for. So in this idea of commanding gratitude, which is very clearly expressed here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we have these two problems. An emotional problem, it is an emotive response. It needs to be at the heart level, and you can't really command that. You can't will it. Sure, there's certain things we can do to increase the likelihood that it will be there, but in the moment, you can't just command yourself to be thankful. And then the other problem is that forced gratitude is not honoring to the one who's receiving it. So the emotional problem, the command problem, and we move from there to what is point 3 on your outline, and this is what I would call gratitude killers. There's 3 of them. 3 gratitude killers. One of them we've already considered in the little story about Billy, and that would be enforcement. Enforcement. Forced gratitude is not fruitful. Forced gratitude is ultimately insincere. It's not genuine. So this is a gratitude killer, to force it. You will be thankful. There's not real gratitude there. The second one, though, is a little bit different. And so letter B under gratitude killers is entitlement. Entitlement is a gratitude killer. If someone feels entitled to something, it is highly unlikely that they're going to have gratitude when they receive it. And this is not just something that we can prove biblically. This is something that we can prove empirically. There's been a lot of scientific research in this area. Dr. Robert Emmons, he is a professor of psychology at UC Davis, and his focus, he's an expert in the psychology of gratitude. You probably didn't even know there was such a thing. He's an expert in the psychology of gratitude. And interestingly, in about the last 15 years, there's been a whole bunch of research studies done by him and many other universities, both here in the United States and in the United Kingdom, on the issue of gratitude. A lot of people have been looking into this idea. Psychology has tended to focus on negative attitudes, negative ideas and traits, and now they're recognizing that some of these positive traits are things they should put some research time into. So they've been looking at the psychology of gratitude. And Dr. Emmons, he and his team have concluded through research that entitlement is virtually opposed to gratitude. And as I feel more entitled, then my gratitude will shrink in proportion to entitlement increasing. If you feel that you deserve something, you are not going to say thank you for it. Example, very, very clear. When you receive your paycheck, you probably don't say thank you to your employer for it. Because you feel, I deserve this. I worked and I deserve it. Now, there may be some that are more thankful for it. And maybe you were more thankful when you first got the job, but as time has gone on, you go, hey, listen, he treats me mean, and I don't really like him, and this job is hard, and I deal with mean people all day long, so I deserve this, right? And so when you get that, you go, well, I'm not going to say thank you for this. I worked for this. This is mine. You owe it to me. So an entitlement mindset, a sense of entitlement, will diminish gratitude in a huge way. And if you don't receive what you think you deserve, not only will it not result in gratitude, but it will actually result in verbal ingratitude. If you don't get what you think you deserve, they gypped me, they held back, I should have got this. That's verbal ingratitude. And so we see that in our culture because unfortunately, we are cultured to feel entitled. So enforcement is a gratitude killer. Entitlement is a gratitude killer. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine just about a week and a half ago about culture. It had nothing to do with this topic, and we were just talking about different cultures. And he was sharing with me a story from back years ago when his children were young. They had a German au pair in their home. And after a couple of months of having this German au pair in their home, his wife became very upset because every night when they would have dinner, she would never say thank you. And she was very bothered by the fact that this gal would never, ever say thank you. And it just started to cause a serious problem. So finally, he pulled this gal aside and said, listen, you know, I want to understand, you know, every night you have dinner and you've never said thank you to my wife. And it's kind of causing a problem. And I want to understand what's going on here. She says, well, in the manual for being an au pair, it says you're required to give me dinner. It's one of the things you're required to give me. So there is this mindset of, I deserve this, I'm entitled to this, so why should I say thank you to you for this? And so there was no gratitude. And of course, if you don't get what you think you deserve, then there's going to be verbal ingratitude, which is one of the things that Jesus actually addresses in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 20, he tells a story about a landowner who had a vineyard. And it's harvest time, so early in the morning, he goes to the marketplace to hire workers for the harvest at 6 in the morning, and he says, listen, I will pay you a denarius, a day's wage, if you'll come work in my vineyard. So they come. And then as the day goes on, 3 hours later, he realizes, I need more workers. So at 9 in the morning, he goes back to the marketplace, says, hey, will you come and work in my vineyard? They say, yeah, we'll come work in your vineyard. Then 3 hours later at noon, he goes and gets more people. And then 3 hours after that, he goes and gets more people. Then right near the very end of the day, just an hour left, he still needs some more people. So he goes back and he brings those people in. So now at the end of the day, he's squaring with all of his workers, and he begins with those who came in last. He begins with those who only worked an hour, and he pays them one day's wage, a denarius. And he goes all the way down to those who are at 3 and those that are 12 and those that are 9 and gives them a denarius. By the time he's getting close to those that started at 6 in the morning, they're thinking, man, we're getting a bonus. And he gives them a denarius and they're mad. They're not grateful. They're filled with ingratitude. And he says, what is the problem? He says, I paid you what we agreed on, but they had no gratitude. Why? Because they felt entitled to something more. And so entitlement is a gratitude killer. Not only entitlement, number 3, expectation. Expectation and entitlement, they may be closely linked. In fact, there's some crossover between expectation and entitlement if you really start to break these concepts down. Entitlement deals with the deserved outcome. I deserve this. Whereas expectation deals with the likely or the probable outcome. I expect that I'm going to get this. And so you have two different frames of mind. Someone says, well, I was born in the USA. I'm born in America. Therefore, I deserve a good life. That would be entitlement. And there are some people that think that way. They live their lives that way. And then there are some people who say, you know, I was born in the United States of America, and I think pretty likely that I'm going to have a good life. I expect that I'm going to have a good life. And so there's two different ways that we approach things, but both of these things diminish and reduce gratitude. If you have entitlement, I deserve this, then when it's given to you, you don't have gratitude. And if it's not given to you, you actually have ingratitude. But expectation is similar to that in that I expect a certain outcome, and if it comes, then I expected it. Why should I be thankful? That's what I thought would happen. Dennis Prager, some of you know that name. New York Times best-selling book that he authored a number of years ago called Happiness is a Serious Problem. He dedicates an entire chapter to the idea of expectation, and he says this. I think it's very good, so I'm going to read the whole thing. Yes, there is a secret to happiness, and it is gratitude. You catch that? There is a secret to happiness, and it's being thankful. It's gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. And we tend to think that it is being unhappy that leads people to complain, but it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads people to become unhappy. And so become a grateful person, and you will be a much happier person. Amen. He goes on. Because gratitude is the key to happiness, anything that undermines gratitude must undermine happiness. And nothing undermines gratitude as much as expectation, says Dennis Prager. There is an inverse relationship between expectations and gratitude. The more expectation you have, the less gratitude you will have. If you get what you expect, you will not be grateful for getting it. If you expect to wake up healthy tomorrow, and you do wake up healthy tomorrow, well, then you're most unlikely to be grateful for waking up healthy. On the other hand, if you do not expect to wake up healthy tomorrow, you will truly be grateful if you do wake up healthy tomorrow. Most of us are grateful for anything we have only after we are threatened with losing it, or actually do lose it, because then we no longer expect to have it. Gratitude, he finishes, the most important component of happiness is largely dependent upon receiving what we do not expect to receive. So the gratitude killers are enforcement. If it has to be forced, there's no gratitude there. I'm commanding you to do it whether you want to or not. By entitlement, I deserve this outcome. Therefore, if the outcome comes, then I'm not going to be grateful because that's what I deserve. And if it doesn't come, I'm going to have very clear ingratitude. And then expectation. I expect to get this, and therefore, I'm not going to be thankful when it comes. So, like Dennis Prager says, happiness is a serious problem. I would say that gratitude is a serious problem. It is what Christians ought to have. It's the ethic of the Christian. Because we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we ought to be thankful and ought to be filled with gratitude. It is commanded in the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and many other places in the scriptures where we are told to give thanks. The Psalms are filled with commands, the imperatives. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Constantly throughout the Psalms, you read those words. Give thanks, and it is a command. It is God's will. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're in Christ Jesus, God's will for you today is that you have gratitude. You be grateful. It is the ethic. It is the command. It is God's will. It honors and glorifies God, but it is an emotion that is not easily forced. It's not something that I can just drum up and will it up to come. Although there are certain things that I might do to increase the likelihood that it would be there, I can't in the moment force it to happen. Furthermore, it's easily killed. It's killed by that command, by the enforcement. It's killed by entitlement. It's killed by expectation. So how do we cultivate gratitude? How do we cultivate gratitude? And I'm going to give just three ways that we can cultivate gratitude. Because it is commanded, it is the ethic of the Christian, it is God's will, it honors and glorifies him, and ultimately it satisfies us. So first, we need to recognize that God's command that we be thankful, this command in the scriptures that we give thanks is ultimately a promise for our increased joy. When he commands you to be thankful, in the very command is a promise that you will have increased joy in that. You can prove it biblically, and I would even state, I would argue that every command of God in the scriptures, when obeyed, ultimately realizes increased joy. It increases our satisfaction in obeying him. That's right. So his commands are promises to us for our joy. I talked about this in a series that we did a few years ago called The Key to Unlocking Joy. And I believe it's true. I believe it more so now than I did then when I was teaching it. That when we obey faithfully what God has called us to do, we experience the increase of our joy. But not only does the Bible make this case, but now research, 21st century research, is proving this time and time again that it is true. What God said thousands of years ago, psychologists and sociologists today are saying, yep, that's true. I love when that happens. What the theologian knew thousands of years ago, the scientist today is confirming. In what ways? Well, in 1998, Gallup did research, and they found that 90% of those surveyed here in the United States of America experience an increase in happiness merely by expressing gratitude. 90%, they found, of those that they surveyed expressed an increase in happiness merely by being thankful. But not just Gallup. It's not as scientific as some of the research that's coming out of universities, but a joint study with UC Davis and the University of Miami in 2003, they found this: an increase in gratitude, if you are more thankful, it will lead to an increase of overall well-being, an improvement in the amount of and the quality of sleep, and greater optimism and connectedness with one another. That was the end of their research study. That was their conclusion. That an increase of gratitude resulted in overall better well-being, that it resulted in better and more quality sleep. How many of you say, that would be nice? That it resulted in greater optimism and a closer connectedness with other people. But not just UC Davis and University of Miami. A joint study with three universities in the United Kingdom found in 2008 that gratitude, this was one of their concluding remarks, gratitude has one of the strongest relationships with satisfaction with life of any of the traits that they've studied. Did you get that? Gratitude has the closest link to satisfaction with life, which is a broad overarching term, satisfaction with life of any of the traits that they study. So when Dennis Prager says, become a grateful person and you will become more happy, scientifically it's being proven time and time again. And the scriptures point to this as well. The Bible reveals and research supports that thankfulness improves overall quality of life and satisfaction. So how do we increase our gratitude? Well, one of the things is just simply recognizing that when God says, be thankful, he's actually saying that because it will be better off for you to be thankful. That's right. It's for your good that he says, I command you to be thankful. Repeatedly. One of the second ways that we can cultivate gratitude is by acknowledging that everything that we have in this life is an unmerited gift of grace. Everything that you have in this life is an unmerited gift of grace. And this is something that we who live in one of the most blessed nations of the world really need to latch on to. Everything that you have in this life is an unmerited gift of grace. Now, theologians, they typically split grace, the work of God in this world through grace, into two different things. They split it into the common grace of God that all humanity experiences, like just waking up this morning and taking a breath, and we all are experiencing the common grace of God through those things. We can identify the common grace of God through so many different things that we have. Have you ever asked that question? How is it that I was born in this nation and I wasn't born somewhere in like Bangladesh? How is it that I was born in this nation? Well, it's according to the common grace of God. And you say, well, what about the person in Bangladesh? Did they not receive the common grace of God? No, there's many other things that they have also that they could point to and say, this is according to the common grace of God. But not only do we have the common grace of God, if you're a Christian today and you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, then you have received overwhelming abundance of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is eternal, that is with God in heaven if you're a Christian today. So you have grace in abundance upon your life as a Christian. And so what we need to begin to recognize and acknowledge is that every single thing that you have, the car that you drive, the house that you live in, the clothes that you wear, the food that you will eat for lunch today, everything that you have and all the things that you can't even think of right now, all of that is an unmerited gift of God's grace. You didn't deserve it. He gave it to you freely. You don't deserve it. In fact, if we want to go by what we deserve, see, there's some people that instantly go, yeah, that's not good. I don't want that.
Amen.
Right? What do we deserve apart from Christ? Justice, wrath. We deserve that. And so we need to acknowledge that everything we have is an unmerited gift of God's grace. We are entitled to nothing, and God has graciously given us all things. Our only real expectation because of sin is ultimate judgment, but God has graciously given us abundant and eternal life in Christ. So we can cultivate gratitude by recognizing that God's command that we be grateful is ultimately for our joy, our increased satisfaction with life, both biblically and scientifically. By acknowledging that everything that we have is a gift from God, we do not have an entitlement to anything. Thirdly, and it's point number four on your outline, cultivate an attitude of gratitude by giving thanks. We cultivate an attitude of gratitude by giving thanks. While the emotion of gratitude at the heart level is not easily forced, I can tell you to be thankful and you can express verbally thanksgiving and gratitude, but it may not really be from the heart. So I can't command your heart to experience gratitude. However, I have learned, and maybe you can identify with this, where the head goes, the heart follows. Where the head goes, the heart follows. When you begin to exercise gratitude and express gratitude, one of the things that you find is that you are cultivating or preparing the heart to also release gratitude. So by merely going through the action of being a grateful person, then you will find the increase of gratitude. And research supports this. Research has proven that intentionally taking time on a daily basis to record and to remember those things which you are grateful for will cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Exercising your Thanksgiving muscles is not getting ready to eat a lot of turkey. Exercising your Thanksgiving muscles by practically giving thanks to God and to others will increase the likelihood that you will have a heart of gratitude. So one of the simple things you can do is just say thank you. Just say thank you to people and to God for the things that happen, that take place. Now, you've probably all driven with that person that thanks God when they get a parking space. Maybe you are that person. God bless you. And sometimes you just go, oh, come on, how trivial and trite. No. That person is doing what? They're cultivating this attitude towards thankfulness, towards gratitude. They're recognizing that what they just got was not something that they merited or deserved, but something that was given to them graciously. Even if it seems so small and mundane as a parking space, you are more likely to thank God for the big things if you also begin thanking him for the little things. William Ward once wrote, God gave you the gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used even one of them to give thanks? That's challenging. Acknowledging God with a prayer of thanksgiving, even every time when you sit down to partake of a meal, you begin to cultivate a heart of gratitude. And I see this in my children. Of course, children can tend to be, because they're just like us, but they just don't mask it very well, they tend to be complainers. And we all do, but we know it's not socially acceptable, so we found a way to try and like reduce it, but we just complain to our spouse or to ourselves. Kids just let it out. It's much easier to see and to correct. We hide it so well, it's harder to correct. But one of the things that I've seen in my kids is that we constantly, every time we sit down to have any meal, we say, well, we need to pray. Let's thank God for our meal. And that's a simple prayer. But what it does is it starts to build it into them that from the youngest ages, they immediately start to do that themselves.
That's right.
And they start to recognize that this is something that we should do. And so you're cultivating in them an attitude of gratitude by merely giving thanks. This is something that we need to apply ourselves to. And so we can cultivate gratitude in our lives by recognizing that God has commanded it to us for our increase of joy and overall, you know, well-being. Now, of course, it's for his glory ultimately, but he is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And as we increase in our gratitude towards him, it is proven through research that our joy, our well-being will also increase. And so when we acknowledge that, then it's like, well, that's a good bed for gratitude to grow in. And then we can also increase gratitude by acknowledging that everything that we have in this life is a gift from the Lord. And thirdly, we can increase gratitude by simply giving thanks. But I would say one of the secrets to gratitude is to constantly behold the greatness of the glory of God as manifested through his Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest secret to gratitude is to constantly behold the greatness of God, of the glory of God, as manifested through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so here we that are approaching the Thanksgiving holiday this weekend need to be reminded that as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we should be, we ought to be a thankful people. And God wills that we would be those filled with gratitude. And he has commanded that we would be those who are filled with gratitude. But there may be some gratitude killers in our lives that we need to get rid of. A sense of entitlement, a sense of, I expect that this is going to be the outcome. Maybe we need to build into our lives a recognition that every good and perfect gift comes from him, from God. We did not merit it. We don't deserve it. But he's graciously given it to us. And maybe we just need to say, thank you. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand and say thank you to the Lord. Amen. God, I thank you for this church body. I thank you for the friends and the family that we have here. Friends that we can trust and lean upon. Friends that will encourage us when we're down. Friends who might even challenge and rebuke us when we're not acting in a right way. Lord, I thank you for a place that we can gather together. I thank you that we live in a country where we can worship you publicly, openly, without fear. I thank you, God, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and that you have poured out abundance upon us. We experience abundance like very few other people in the world. And Lord, we acknowledge today that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Lord, we thank you that you have brought salvation. We thank you, Father, that you have given your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you that we can experience in you, Jesus, peace that surpasses understanding, joy that never diminishes or goes away. Lord, that we have in you redemption in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places and all things that pertain to life and godliness. We thank you that we have in you forgiveness of sin. And Lord, I pray that by our gratitude, we would be a witness to others. That people would see in our lives a thanksgiving, a gratitude, a joy that they're not experiencing through the things of this life. So many times we buy the lie that if we just had more, then we'd be more thankful. But Lord, we have much. Lord, help us to be grateful. Make it true in our lives and make it a witness unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name.